So before our Janmashtami, we may celebrate an Adivas ceremony where the presence of the Titi, or of the actual time that Krishna appears, is slowly beginning, because it doesn't begin exactly at midnight, it begins a little earlier, actually. So in preparation to the time that Krishna really appeared, we are also trying to focus our mind on. It's called sankalpa. Sankalpa means to fix the mind on what the goal is that one wants to achieve through
the particular ceremony.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manavatiti Bhakti Janani. From observing these sacred times of related to Krishna, the Madhavatiti, those sacred times, when we observe them, then at that time, Bhakti Janani, Bhakti takes birth. Then in our heart, a natural desire to serve Krishna will awaken. Therefore, the observance of Janmashtami is very important. It is said that this is part of the prescribed duty of a devotee. In the nature of devotion, we find a description of 64 angas of bhakti, 64 limbs of bhakti. And it is said that one of the things that are important is that one should not fail to observe these special days, these special celebrations, like Janmashtami, and so on. So we are engaging in our celebration of Janmashtami in that way, as part of a process of regulated devotional service, known as Bhajana Kriya. The process of Bhajana Kriya means, Bhaj Dhatu means actually service, devotional service. So the process of getting the benefit of devotional service. So we are engaging in that devotional service, this Bhajana Kriya, in two ways. One is the Nitya Kriya, or the regular activity of every day, our daily sadhana, our daily devotional service, whatever it may be. And then we have the Naimiti Kriya, or the special activities that we perform sometimes. When we increase our service, when we increase our chanting, when we increase our hearing about Krishna, when somehow or other we are trying to become more absorbed in our devotional service. So the aim of this Naimitika Kriya is to take a step up from what we usually do. So when the regular practice of devotional service becomes routine, every day when we chant, kind of, well, not completely mechanically, but also not completely ecstatically, when we are doing our service, not completely without feeling, but also not rolling on the ground in total ecstasy, with the hair standing on end and tears shooting from the eyes. When we are doing our devotional service, in some way or other, as a matter of routine, then there is Naimitika Kriya. The chance, the opportunity to do something greater, something extraordinary. That is Janmashtami. Janmashtami is that day that we can try and increase our service. We may increase by increasing our chanting. We may rise early and we may take a vow on a Panchamas. Of course, it must be realistic, not 10,000 rounds, or even a little less, maybe problematic. But something can be done, even 20 for Jamashtami. Not like that many extra. That may be possible. 25? Yeah. Maybe. 32? Maybe. Then we get into the big numbers, you know. Then you have to hide and stop sleeping and not do so much service. So whatever may be, we will... but the opportunity is there to do something extra. I was mentioning the other day that in some temples they find a corner somewhere where they read the whole day Krishna book from beginning to end. It starts early in the morning, even during japa, someone's already reading Krishna book, and it goes on till midnight. And you can go in that room during the day and hear a little Krishna book, or take a turn and read a little bit of Krishna book. And just one day to read some Krishna book on Jamashtami, to just read about Krishna and his activities is really what it's meant to be. Every other day we are involved in working with the material energy for Krishna. But on Jamashtami especially, we can involve directly with Krishna through hearing and chanting. So that must be there. Prabhupada would just recite from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Sanskrit verses, verse after verse, just to absorb the devotees, somehow or other, in hearing about Krishna. Although they couldn't understand the Sanskrit, Prabhupada didn't mind. Just kept on reading, and everyone fell asleep, but the souls were still awake. So the purification was going on. So we are tonight maybe beginning to think about Jamashtami. What are we going to do? One can take part in the various services, decoration, or deity worship, abhishekas, or a play. There are many possibilities. An offering must be made. That is Naimitika Kriya. Something more than usual. Something special. One can bring a gift, if anything. Some nice gift can bring. Yes. After all, it's Krishna's birthday. And he gets no gifts. That's not very good. Something we should give. So like that, our aim is to serve Krishna intensely on Jamashtami. Jamashtami will only be a success if we don't hold back. There is no such thing as, well, I will just be there, Jamashtami. I'm not going to really put so much energy this time in Jamashtami, because actually I'm very busy at this time and I have to work very hard after the weekend, so I think I'm going to save myself this Jamashtami. One should not save himself at Jamashtami. There are before and after, but not at Jamashtami. Jamashtami is the time to go beyond one's limits, to do something one would ordinarily not do. Maybe cut some sleeping. Eating, we're already cutting altogether. Maybe. If possible. Yeah. But if we do that, like for myself, fasting is not so good, because I have low blood sugar. So when I don't eat, then it goes, begins to spin. So I never really am much into fasting, but tomorrow can I do it. I'm going to do it. Because it is an opportunity to connect with the mercy of Krishna. It's not a religious practice, Jamasthami. By making a sacrifice, we come closer to Krishna. And by doing something extraordinary in this Naimittika Kriya, we bring new life to the Nitya Kriya, or the regular everyday practice, which otherwise becomes dry. So it's important. We bring back something. Maybe we'll do activities that we had never done something. Maybe we'll chant more rounds than we ever chanted before. If you've done it once, you can do it again. So this Naimittika Kriya gives us the strength not only to pull ourselves up to a higher level for a day, but it gives us the strength to lift up our whole devotional practice. That is Janmashtami. Krishna, the day Krishna appeared. Of course, Krishna does not appear. Krishna is eternal. Krishna never takes birth, and yet he takes birth. So Krishna, of course, is present everywhere. Krishna is all-pervading. Still, when Krishna appears in this world, then we know that there are special blessings on this world. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the prayers of Kunti Devi. She describes how when Krishna was personally present on the earth, how the entire earth was graced by by the footprints of his lotus feet. And as a result, everything in the entire world was becoming auspicious. That there were jewels everywhere. It's like, how these Brijvasis had so many jewels? Were they mining? I think in this part of the world there are lots of mines. And were the Brijvasis mining? Some cowherd boys with helmets and lights on the top, digging for jewels deep under the ground, like that. No. The jewels were just coming to the surface. They would be everywhere. You could just pick them up. Like in the rivers, there were just jewels. Go to the rivers. What is that? Okay. Nice. Yeah. So everything was on the surface. Now, they have mines in South Africa for diamonds and gold, which are like 8 or 9 kilometers deep, like 8 or 9 kilometers on the ground. So they have to go deeper and deeper. But at the time of Krishna, it all comes to the surface. Everything is just very available. That is how it was when Krishna personally blesses the planet. At that time, everything became very auspicious. It is said prior to the appearance of Krishna, the residents had lived in fear. All the brahmanas, it was forbidden. It was forbidden to perform yajnas. It was not allowed. It was forbidden. Cows were being killed by Kamsa's man. So there was a lot of oppression going on at that time. But suddenly, when Krishna appeared, the whole atmosphere became peaceful. So the brahmanas were lighting the sacrificial fire, and the flame was just straight and not wavering, and they were chanting their mantras and offering oblations without any fear. So the world became fearless. So Krishna's personal presence is is very important. When Krishna appears on the planet, then he makes himself visible to anyone and everyone, even those who are who have not performed any service to see him, might even see him. Now, only those who are pure in heart and who are dedicated to him in devotional service and who have pleased him, they may see him. So ultimately, that is what can happen on Janmashtami. That when we make some special endeavor, that we may begin to experience a little bit the presence of Krishna. And that's really the kind of mercy that will give us great inspiration. When we just for a moment perceive that it's more than just something theoretical from a book. If we just hear the conclusions of scripture saying that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that may be convincing, but when we actually for a moment feel that presence of Krishna, at least feel it, if we cannot see it, that will be a great source of inspiration. But maybe we will not have such a mystical experience. But even hearing about Krishna, if for one day we actually get serious about hearing about Krishna, it will give us strength to hear more. It will give us a new taste for hearing. Something that had become stale, something we didn't do for a longer period of time. No reading because we got so busy with so many things, and who has time for these things? But then, again, one day, getting absorbed, and suddenly a new strength will be with us, and we have renewed strength to read. So in this way, we are practicing our devotional service on Janmashtami, worshipping Krishna, seeing how the world became auspicious due to Krishna's presence, and seeing how Krishna protected his devotees, how he killed many demons, seeing how Krishna established principles of religion. When Krishna lived in Dwarka, he was also worshipping. He was rising early in the morning. As soon as he heard the rooster crow, as soon as he heard the first sound of the rooster, Krishna would get up. And some roosters, So it said Krishna in this way would every day wake up way before sunrise. Way before sunrise, he would wake up in the morning. And then the first thing was he would see auspicious things like statues of cows and so on. So you see also auspicious things, cows, elephants on the altar. These are traditional things. Krishna is seeing such animals, and they are auspicious. And not only is it like a nice decoration, but actually this is what Krishna was personally looking at early in the morning, at such auspicious forms. So this is very nice, that Krishna himself is showing Paritta Nayasadhanam how to act as a devotee. But Krishna also shows. So Krishna shows how to follow principles of Dharma, what religiousness is. But then in the battle of Kurukshetra, we see that Krishna goes beyond Dharma, beyond religious principle. There was a There was a time when Duryodhana was in particular criticizing Bhishmadev. And he said, you are not really fighting very seriously. You're not giving your whole heart. You're not giving everything. You're holding back. So he just challenged, he said, and Duryodhana said, the reason is because secretly you're sparing the Pandavas. You don't want to kill them because they're your favorites. So when Bhishma was challenged like that, then he took five arrows and he said, okay, see these five arrows. With these five arrows, I will kill the Pandavas tomorrow. Right. So then Duryodhana, who was knowledgeable, understood that there are many witnesses, that nothing in this world just goes on its own. So Duryodhana knew very well there are 13 witnesses, the day, the night, the demigods, the earth, the sun, the moon, the super soul, so many witnesses to what Bhismadev has said just now. So surely, since the Pandavas are the sons of the demigods, and they have witnessed this, they'll probably try and make some arrangement to protect them. Therefore he said to Bhishmadev, then please, grandfather, give me those arrows, and I will return them to you tomorrow. So yes, you know, that night, Arjuna came to the tent of Duryodhana. And Arjuna, long ago, had once saved the life of Duryodhana. And Duryodhana had promised him then any boon, which is what one is supposed to do. So he said, okay. And Arjuna had said, I'll take that boon later. So Arjuna came and said, oh, Arjuna, welcome. Yes, the battle was over. Very nice. You come? Yes. Can offer you a seat, something to drink, something to eat. Welcome. Duryodhana said, how can I serve you? What would you like? Arjuna said, remember that once, long ago, you granted me this boon. Duryodhana said, yes, what do you want? You want the kingdom without a fight? You can take it. Arjuna said, no, I don't want the kingdom without a fight. No, I'm ready to fight. All I want is those five arrows. Just give me those five arrows. So then when Bhishmadev found out about that, then Bhishmadev understood immediately, Krishna has arranged it. This is Krishna's politics. He sent Arjuna, otherwise Arjuna could have never known about this. It is simply Krishna's politics. He said, "And I promised that I would kill the Pandavas, and Krishna made me break my vow by taking away these arrows. Then I will make Krishna break his vow as well." So the next day, Bhishmadev fought in such a way, arrow or no arrows, right? He just fought with so much fire that Arjuna was just getting hit left and right. And at one point, it looked really like Arjuna was going to lose it. Just then, Krishna jumped from the chariot, grabbed some wheel that was lying on the battlefield, and stormed at Bhishmadev, who then threw his weapons down and was hit and laughed. Now I made him break his promise as well. So in this way, Krishna broke his promise for his devotee. So this shows how Krishna is not only giving the perfect example of Dharma, of how one should act, which he does, so he gives that example. But for his devotee, he goes beyond Dharma. He also shows that he has love for his devotee. That it's not only about just religious principle, but that it's about love for his devotee. So this is, we see how Krishna is is engaged in loving relationships with his associates, which is one of the unique qualities of Krishna. Always engaged in loving relationships with his intimate devotees. So Janmashtami is such a day. For some of us, it may be a day where we feel we can make our connection with Krishna and with devotional service a little stronger. For others of us, it may be a day where we feel we can maybe go a little deeper into all the things we are already doing. Chant a little more serious, really make it a day of being intensely absorbed. And again, others maybe are thinking about increasing their love for Krishna through this Janmashtami. So there are different ways for different devotees, depending on their levels of advancement, of how they will relate to Krishna on Janmashtami. Srila Prabhupada also took Janmashtami as an opportunity to spread the glories of Krishna in a big way. Not only did he take Janmashtami for his own spiritual life, for his own spiritual advancement, but especially he took Janmashtami to spread the fame of Krishna widely. Because Janmashtami is a day that the world is ready to pay some attention. Oh, Janmashtami, I see. Yes, the equivalent of Christmas in the Hindu tradition. Oh, yes, that we can appreciate. Yes. Whereas otherwise we cannot appreciate, but that we can appreciate. Yes. So, like that, Janmashtami is a day to receive and invite many guests and to give them a wonderful experience, a wonderful Krishna conscious experience, so that we can also give them a great, that we can lift them up. And in that way, we become lifted up. So Janmashtami in this way is for everyone an opportunity to go deeper in spiritual life. Yeah, with that in mind, we are beginning to meditate. It is said sankalpa. Sankalpa means that before one begins a sacrifice, one must think about what he wants to attain from the sacrifice. So before we begin our Janmashtami, what do we want to achieve? In other words, we must have a plan. Therefore, you can't really celebrate Janmashtami without a plan. You just walk into Janmashtami, it's like, oh my God, and the fasting, oh dear, oh my gosh, and so much service, and oh my God, and so many activities, so much program, so many guests, oh my God, Janmashtami, oh. No, one has to have a plan. Not only a plan of what we're going to do, but also a plan of how to survive. So, all that must be there. We need... Yeah. So it is about finding a balance between the special thing you're going to do, but also how we're going to manage Jamashtami. And that you have to figure out. Yeah. So I'll leave it up to all of you, up to your inspiration. I'll make my own planets. I already have them. And one planet, I'll go to bed early. So, while all of you are going to stuff your faces with lots of stuff, I will just quickly retreat. And so that I'll have more energy tomorrow. That's the plan. So thank you very much for coming together for this Krishna Janmashtami. Please, for this Adivas, please come back tomorrow. Spend as much time as possible. Don't worry about everything else. Even if you have to work, just report sick. Somehow or not. And if your boss comes for a Janmashtami celebration, then you lose lots of prasad. Somehow or other, Janmashtami comes first. That is my conclusion. Thank you very much. Any question? Any comment?
Sure, 10-6 things used in Krishna services are offered today.
Which are?
The 10-6 things.
Oh, yeah, I don't know all these things. I'm not sure to ask an answer. I'm not good at these rituals. Not at all.
I'm not a problem.
Huh?
Not a problem.
Well, maybe it's a problem, but still I'm not good at it. I don't know. I don't know much about deity worship. Somehow or other, that's one thing I've never become deeply involved in. Different devotees have different inspirations. I'm a man of books. I like reading books, lots of them. And I like kirtan.
Yeah.
So, you can ask me about kirtan.
I was doing more ecstatic kirtan.
What was the most ecstatic kirtan? Well, every kirtan is ecstatic. Yeah. And the kirtan that you're doing is the most ecstatic. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like it's always ecstatic. Of course, when the mercy goes out, I must say, that's especially ecstatic. And we see that kirtan goes to people who are like suffering, and they start to change. So in Africa, we had some really nice experiences with the people who lived in the squatter camps along the railway line. So one time we went with a group of students, and as soon as we came with the kirtan, the people came running out of their houses, and they embraced the kirtan party. And the kirtan had already been there before, so they knew the Maha Mantra a little bit. So they started to chant like along, and then it got more and more fired up. And one devotee started something like Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then some African ladies, they figured it out immediately. So while everyone was singing Hare Krishna, they were doing in the back, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Like black people can do. And then there were 500 kids. And then one devotee did a fancy dancing step. And then 500 kids all did a fancy dancing step, the same one. Yeah. That was pretty ecstatic. And then there was one, there were two kids, they had an old one of these plastic garbage cans, and they cut it in half. and made it into like a cart, you know. So one kid was sitting in that cart, and then at one point both the kids were sitting in the cart and the Matajis were jumping around with the kids in that garbage can cart. And then there was this, like, at one point one lady was leading the kirtan, and then she started to sing cheek to cheek, you know, with like one of the kids who lived at the railway line. So these people, although they were not regular devotees, they had so much fun while chanting Hare Krishna, so much fun that like they can never forget. They'll never have fun like this again. And always be waiting again and again. When is the kirtan party coming again? When? Oh. That was a good kirtan.
Can you tell us, for our inspiration, please, at least one of your wows which you had for previous Janmashtamis?
No, there's no inspiration about that. Maybe that's wrong. So, like a flat tire. Nothing coming. No, but sure, you can try to chant and read. I said things like that. And simple things like, it doesn't have to be so complicated. And sometimes Janmashtamis, I really wanted to cook, you know, I cooked. Yes, like one Janmashtami, I cooked 75 preps. Someone else also cooked 75 preps. And then we served everyone. And then we had two huge plates with 150 preps each, and we ate the whole plate, which we should not have done. That I will not do again. Eat 150 preps, the full plates. No, that was too much. But we thought we had cooked it all now, we've offered it all to Krishna, now it's transcendental, now we have to just eat everything.